comes from the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, beginning in the 11th verse and continuing through the 19th verse, Luke 17, 11 through 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all these 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord. And there were 10 who had leprosy, and they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Master, have pity on us." And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. In a loud voice. They hollered. They hollered. They lifted their voice. They hollered. And I've entitled my message, "Hollering Help," or "Hollering Hallelujah." The first thing I want to ask you, though, or define for you, is what I mean by holler. It's not a noun. It's not like when I went to Kentucky once and I asked them, what's the name of the town that I'm staying in? And they said, "It's Crawdad Holler." No, I'm not talking about the noun version of that word. I'm talking more of the verb to holler. When you yell out or you cry out something, you lift up your voice. If you need something, just holler. It's like what happened to me this week. I was walking down the street and I saw this little boy crying. I said, "Why are you crying, little boy?" And he said, "I had these 2 quarters and someone came by and took one of them." And he cried and he looked pitiful. And I said, "Well, did you holler?" And he said, "Sure I hollered, mister." He said, I was curious. You hollered and no one came. Let me hear you holler. So he hollered, but it was just so soft you could just barely hear it. And I asked him, "Is that as loud as you can holler?" And he said, "Sure, mister." So I took his other quarter. That's just a story, all right. That's just a story, all right. Holler, what do you mean by holler? In our text, we have Jesus on the way to Jerusalem, traveling between the border between Samaria and Galilee, and we have 10 lepers, outcasts. It was a physical disease that happened in the life of many persons. It was a common occurrence. It was a common disease, and yet it had an uncommon effect on people. There would be white patches on their skin. There would be lumps there. There was numbness that crawled up in their limbs. They could lose the feeling in their fingers and toes. Their faces could become disfigured. But perhaps more than the physical discouragement that they faced and pain that was surrounded, they were outcasts because of their disease. They were pushed to the edge, literally, of the community. There was some feeling that persons had brought this on themselves, and it was sin that had caused this. There was others felt that this was something they didn't want to be near, so they were banished in many ways from society, and so they would stand at a distance and beg to receive the things they needed in life. And that is where we find them, standing at a distance and calling out in a loud voice. They were hollering, "Lord, have mercy on us." And Jesus saw them. Everybody else ignored them. Jesus saw them. Jesus spoke to them. He spoke to them, and he sent them. "Go to the priests. Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. 9 men shouted and raced down the road like boys in a game, peeling off their rags to welcome the sunshine on their new childlike skin. They had never seen that look before. They sprinted toward the priest, but one of the lepers spun around and ran to Jesus, and he shouted, Hallelujah. He shouted, thank you. He shouted, he hollered, glory. The Samaritan, the foreigner, the one not only neglected because of his disease, but because of his association, his heritage, hollering help or hollering hallelujah. They spoke in a loud voice, both those crying for help and the one praising God. Which do we choose to do in life, to holler help or holler hallelujah? We can look at life as we're supposed to receive certain things. We can view life as expectation that certain things are supposed to work in a certain way. We can live life as an expectation and a belief that we are to gain certain things. We can look at life that way. Sometimes we go through life as a child would through birthday presents. We tear open the wrapping paper and we open the gifts and we pile up the boxes and then we move on to the next toy. What's next do we get? What else do we get? What else is good we do? And we might be disappointed when we didn't get one thing on our list, though we got seven other things. We can look at life in that way, or we can also look at life as gift. All of life as gift. All of life as grace. Not so much as entitlement or what is due to us, but what we receive. Hollering help or hollering hallelujah. We need both. We need both. A lot of times we have to holler help. Sometimes we need help. Sometimes we can't do for ourselves. Sometimes we need the help of others, and it's altogether appropriate for us to holler for help when things that are broken that we can't fix, and we have learned to ask for help from those that know how to fix things in life. And when our hearts are broken and our lives are falling apart, we call out in help to God because we believe in a God that hears us. It's altogether appropriate when our hearts are broken, when our lives are falling apart, when things are not what we choose them to be. It's altogether appropriate. You and I have been in those moments when our hearts are broken. You and I have been in those places where we've lost. You and I have been in those places we don't have the answers. You and I have been there. It's altogether appropriate for us to holler for help. We need others. We need God's love. We need God's cares. We need the prayers of those when things are not as we would choose them to be. Altogether appropriate for us to holler for help. I guess what Jesus really taught, though, in this incident was that there are moments when we move from hollering help to hollering hallelujah, when we move from one direction to another. And I hope that I have learned to turn the tables on ingratitude. I hope I have turned the table and shifted my focus so that everything doesn't have to be, Lord, give me this, or Lord, I have to have this. And I've moved beyond those moments when I do need help to awareness that there are also things that I can be grateful for. Gratitude is a choice that you and I make. Gratitude is a choice that you and I make in life. And we can be sad at the losses that we have endured. It's appropriate that our hearts grieve. It's appropriate that our hearts are saddened. But we don't have to dwell there forever, right? We can learn to move beyond that which hurts today. And it may be tomorrow, and it may be a month, and it may be a year, or maybe 10 years till we can move to that place. But at some point in our life's history, we need to move from desperation to gratitude. We can see blessings, and we can name them, and we can express our gratitude in word and deed. There are altogether good reasons for anger in life. There are altogether good reasons for frustration. There are altogether good reasons for grief and regret and apprehension. But we don't have to live there. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't have to stay there forever. We choose how much time we give to the emotions that come into our hearts, and we make choices about them. We do feel anger. We do feel hurt. We do feel frustrated. But will we respond to anger with more anger? Or will we find empathy? Will we respond to frustration with more frustration? Or will we find resolve? Will we move from hollering help to hollering hallelujah? We can create a climate in our lives in which it is easier to be grateful and encourage those around us to see the blessings around us. I hear Jesus speaking in this healing story about the invitation to gratitude. It's not even a command. Jesus doesn't say everybody has to be thankful for what you receive. It's not there. It's not saying that we have to praise God for what God has done. It's not there. It's simply an invitation. Jesus says this one came back. What happened to the others? There was an opportunity to give thanks. There was an opportunity to give praise. There was an opportunity. And you and I have that opportunity in life to be grateful for the blessings that we have or to live in a different place. Will we be healed to a new life or will we stay in the old one? Does the saving work of Jesus lead us to ask for more help or go back to an old way of life, or will it lead us to a life of praise? As a church, we try to help. As a church, that's what we try to do. We try to help. And I wonder if we help all the time. We have calls on the phone for people for help. And we help because that's what we do. We help. But I'm also sometimes blessed by the calls when we help and sometimes perplexed because sometimes I know I hear the same help again from the same voice again. And it hurts. I don't want to be any less willing to help, but my hope is that when we help, it moves somebody. It moves somebody from a life of dependency and a life of asking to changing of life. I don't know. I don't know if all our efforts move people from one place to another. I've seen it in your lives as you've moved. We've all experienced pain and hurt, and I see us moving through that sometimes. When we lose those that we love, we cry for help because we're broken. And something is hurt, and there's a hole in our hearts. And it never goes away. It never goes away. It will always hurt. And I don't want to give us the idea that we need to get over things, because we don't get over grief. We don't get over the hurt that comes from those that we love being separated. It's not, I don't think Jesus says, pull yourself up and put on a good face because, you get over it. No, I don't hear Jesus saying that at all. I'm just here, what he's saying is there's an opportunity for something new for you. There's something still ahead for you. If you are bound by your hurt and bound by yesterday, then you'll miss a second blessing. There were two healings in the story, I think. There were 10 that had leprosy and nine were healed. 10 were healed of their leprosy, all of them. All of it went away. I think what Jesus said is there's a healing for us all, but there's also a second blessing too, when you can learn something about finding grace in the worst places. Jeremiah speaks of learning to deal with disaster. The people of God had been moved from their homeland of Israel and moved into Babylonia to a foreign empire. And the call in Jeremiah is, somehow you're going to have to learn to do something here. He said, build homes and marry and have children. He said, embrace what's happened to your life, because it's going to be a long time before you get to go home. You have a choice, he said, in your exile. You can commiserate what happened and what you lost for all your life, or you can find some grace right in the midst of the worst of places. I don't know how that always works. I don't want to tell somebody, just be happy with what you are. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying, because when we've experienced hurt and loss, it's not that, it just hurts. And it should hurt when we love people well and things change for us. But I also know this truth about life. I've seen some people who have never moved. I've seen some people that have never moved. They lost, or they were hurt in life, or they were shamed in life, or someone hurt them in life, and they're still carrying the same weight that they were 5 and 10 and 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 and 70 years ago. They're still carrying the same load. And we don't have to live there anymore. It's okay to take new steps. It's okay to start new lives. It's okay. It's okay to move forward in life. It doesn't mean that we're disrespecting our past. Does it mean we're turning our back on someone? It just means that we're moving from hollering help to hollering hallelujah. We're moving and we're choosing to find gratitude in the most difficult circumstances of life. What are you asking for in prayer? Are you asking for God to make everything better? That's what we do, and we should. Lord, make it better. Lord, take away the pain. Lord, take away the hurt. We pray that. Maybe we grow up too and begin to pray for, thank you what I had. Thank you for what I was blessed with. Thank you for what I have even in the most difficult of places. Hollering help or hollering hallelujah. So are we praying, Lord, help me win the game, or hallelujah that I can play it all? Am I praying, help me, O Lord, with my financial portfolio, or hallelujah that I have food on the table? I don't know. You and I have both faced a lot of things in life that are not altogether pleasant, altogether appropriate for us in those moments to holler help. And isn't it good when we holler help and the people of God surround us? Isn't it good to know that when our lives are broken, that there's a place of respite for us? Isn't it wonderful to know that God hears us in the suffering places of life? And if God loves us there, that's all I hear today is a push, an invitation to receive a second blessing. The other nine didn't really do anything wrong. They went like Jesus told them. They went to the priest and showed themselves. They did exactly as they were told and enjoyed the healing. They received the blessing of God's presence. I just think that the one who turned back got a second blessing. It's all how we look at the world, isn't it? It's all how we look at the world, whether we are broken down by the things that have happened to us or if we can experience blessing. I've seen both kinds of folks in my life. I had an uncle that lost everything over and over again in his life. Somehow he found a way to find grace in the oddest of places. And I've also seen people that never moved from one location to another. It's about a choice that we get to make, an invitation to find gratitude in the worst of places. Jesus heard both cries. Jesus hears both cries in our lives when we cry for help. And my prayer for you is then when your hearts are broken down and when your lives are shattered, you'll know a God who hears you when you holler help. But I also want a second blessing for you. And that's when you can find gratitude in what's already around you and what we'll come to. The world is full of blessings and challenges. Which will we choose to focus on? God bless you a second time when you and I can learn to holler hallelujah. Let us pray.